Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
You're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Come on, kids, let's go.
Two.
Start the show.
One.
You are listening to the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast. Why don't I ever freaking look at what episode number it is before we do this?
I'm the same way.
We're 44, right?
No.
44, yes.
No, because I did one last week that hasn't aired yet because my mom broke her vagina.
All right, 45?
45 then.
Shit if I know. We should just start jumping so it sounds like we've been doing it a really long time.
I think we should just roll dice. And whenever the two numbers are that come up, that's what show it is.
That's brilliant. So Kelly Mano here with my best friend Haas, producer Gary, and my brother's here today. Say hi,
Yay!
Chris.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Yeah, when you have a family member in radio, sometimes you just kind of get drug into the show. And Chris, my brother, is here for a specific segment we're going to do in a little bit, but he's just going
to
hang out with us for a while,
too. I can't wait to get
into
this, too. Yes.
I know, right? Everybody's excited for what we're going to talk about a little bit later.
Yep.
But we're not going to get into it right now. First, we're going to talk about our weekend. First of all, the Blues are 1-1.
Yeah. Hi, this is David Backus, and you're listening to the Kelly Mano Show.
And she's really awesome.
And she's a little off her rocker, but fun all the time.
So, Blues are 1-1. They come back home for what, two or three games?
Two
games. And yeah, Dallas is a big team, but...
So, I'm thinking Thursday, it's Cinco de Mayo, and there's a Blues game.
Yeah.
We need to eat a lot of nachos and watch hockey.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea, but that doesn't sound like any other day from what you and I normally do.
But now we have a reason to do it.
Okay. Is this like, are you inviting yourself to my house? Because that's fine.
I mean, you can come to my house.
Oh, that's true. You have less kids running around at your house.
It's true. I mean, you can bring the kids.
Well,
there's a playground a block away from my house.
They'll be fine. Just send them down there.
Yeah, whatever.
Unattended.
It's O'Fallon, man. The worst that's going to happen to them is they're going to get taken to a mall and someone's going to buy them nice clothes.
That's right. I forget. I almost died over the weekend because I had a wedding. You know, my real job is a wedding photographer. And, you know, that big storm that rolled through on Saturday night?
That was crazy. Did you see the pictures on Facebook?
Not only did I see the pictures, I was in a metal tent at a farm.
Nice.
Okay.
So you're in a lightning rod.
Yeah. Not only are we in a lightning rod, but I was telling my assistant, I said, look, I'm like, if these winds start coming in, we are getting out of here because they zipped up the tent. Like all of the openings when the wind, I'm like, you don't, this tent is going to turn into a kite.
Yeah.
If the wind blows in, and that's
was
where you're going to get hurt.
Was it one of those tents that had like the floor to it too?
Kind of.
So you're essentially in a balloon?
Yeah, we were in a balloon. They started zipping us up in there, and I'm like, don't do that. I need a freaking escape route.
No, thank you.
Oh, but actually, the wedding was beautiful, and the ground on the inside started getting like all.
Oh, yeah.
It was the first time I ever wore like legit rain boots to a wedding. And also over the weekend, I mentioned that my mom almost broke her vagina. That's why there was not a second show last week. I was working on getting it up on Wednesday night, and then I get a phone call from
apparently
my mom.
So is she.
What?
And apparently so is she.
Yeah. I don't know. Chris, what did she do? She fell?
She fell. She tripped over some cots she has in her garage.
Yeah.
And wait, what?
Some cots. C-O-T-S.
Okay. I was just clarifying because we started the conversation saying she broke her vagina.
Yes.
So, all right. Continue.
And my mom, I'm in my 30s and I've never seen my mom go to the emergency room. I've really hardly even never seen her go to the doctor. But she called me at like 10:30 at night and she's like, I fell really hard. And I'm like, okay, well, are you okay? She's like, yeah, I'm fine. And so we were talking about other stuff like the kids and this and that. And then I said, put Alyssa on the phone. That's my brother's girlfriend who lives with my mom. I'm like, let me talk to her. Well, she got up to try to get Alyssa, and it was like somebody was killing a cat.
Yeah.
She was like, and, you know, crying. And I was like, okay, I'm on my way.
Yeah. Those are the worst calls.
Yes. So me and my sweet Aunt Jackie sat with her in the emergency room until 3 a.m. Her vagina bone is not broken, but she hurt it hard enough that she has to have a walker.
So I'm assuming she fell forward or did she fall onto something?
She fell kind of sideways. And so
she didn't do like the splits?
Well, she thought she broke her hip, but all of her pain, she would not quite quit grabbing her crotch in the ER. It was like Michael Jackson. And she'd go, ow! And then she'd grab her crotch. And I'm like, Mom. I'm like,
somebody has to do a YouTube mashup.
And my mom, who doesn't even take like Tylenol, they gave her a Vicodin. She didn't know it was a Vicodin because they called it a Norco.
Fun times.
And I'm like, oh, Mom, it's just. And then she's in there going, ee-oh, oh, and grabbing her vagina. I'm like, Mom.
And I want to add that I'm not the bad child that didn't go to the ER. Her dog, Willie, had a really poopy butt, and she was getting ready to give him a bath.
I
got the fun job of getting to stay back. And
you got to wash the dog's ass.
I got to wash the dog's ass.
One of us had to take Mom to the ER with a broken vagina, and one of us had to clean shit off of the dog's fur.
Perfect.
And also, I told Chris, because he's a teacher, and he gets up at like a god-awful hour. I'm like, dude, just go home. I'm like, this is not anything life-threatening. I can handle it. Because we were there with her until like 3 in the morning. I ended up just going, like, staying the night there, which it's always funny to sleep in your childhood home. It's always...
You know what? Me being an only child and you know, not having roommates or married or anything like that, there's probably, I'd say, 1 to 2 nights a week that I end up crashing at my parents' house.
Sure.
Because we'll go to dinner or I'll watch TV with them or something. It's like, I'm just going to stay here. It's... very weird, yet oddly comforting.
Oh, it's so comforting. So comforting. And, yeah, I mean, like, I slept like a baby.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Besides my mom. My mom has a daycare, okay? And my mom is just this, like, beautiful form of crazy where, well, she gave birth to me. So that explains a lot. But she didn't have her walker yet, and all her daycare kids started coming. So I woke up to, like, all these toddlers pushing her around the house in an office chair.
That's fantastic.
Like, on wheels. It was the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life.
That's amazing.
But also completely normal for her house.
Yeah.
And something else exciting that happened over the weekend was Haas came to his very first elementary school talent show.
It was great.
It
was awesome. Seriously, it was a lot of fun.
My sweet, beautiful, talented, amazing daughter, Lucy, and her friends did a Spice Girl routine. Now, my brother, Chris, has been coming to my kids' stuff forever. And I thought, you know what? Haas might get a kick out of this, you know? And so I invited Haas to come watch Lucy play the role of Ginger Spice.
She did very well.
Isn't she amazing? Like,
all of them were great. The girl who was Sporty Spice was making me laugh hysterically because it was just this little bitty voice.
It's like having a live munchkin.
Yeah.
And I've got the video on YouTube. It's absolutely amazing. And so I'm going to put it up at kellymano.com. And just Lucy makes me so proud. I just look at her and I'm like, you're going to do anything you want to do in life.
Yeah.
Like anything you want to do, whether you want to be a firefighter or you want to be a doctor or you want to be a performer, like just keep being you, sister, and you got it in the bag. And so
she's got confidence, which is, you know, you saw a lot of the kids who were up there
in some of the other acts.
Yeah. Like just didn't have it.
Well, sure.
You know, obviously if you're going to go to a talent show, you have to have enough confidence to know that you can get up there and do that.
Yes.
But you could see that once they were up there and the reality set in and, oh, crap.
Yes.
There's, let's say, 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back at me, you could see some of them kind of choke up a little bit.
Well, I think having confidence at that age, being like Lucy, is the exception.
I agree.
Most kids, but God bless those kids, especially the ones that got up there by themselves.
Yeah.
Man. My Spice Girls were so nervous backstage, and I'm like, what the hell are you guys nervous about? There's kids going up there by themselves. You guys need to suck it up and get up there and shake it. And they did.
They did great.
And what I didn't know was that Haas was like live tweeting the entire talent show.
Yeah,
and he was giving me like the over unders. He's like, listen, I think Sporty Spice got it in the bag for you with the cartwheels at the end.
Oh my God. Really, I like the whole team was great. And they hands down, and I'm not being biased here, got the best crowd reaction.
Oh, they were by far the crowd favorite.
Yeah, and all the girls were great, but her, just the mouse voice, and then she's doing back handsprings and cartwheels. So I was like, she's gonna win it. Like she's the ace in the hole.
Right. Yeah. Not so much.
Well, you know, and what you didn't tell me, was that Libby was performing.
I forgot.
Like, was that all kindergarten?
Yeah, the kindergarten class always does a group routine.
Yeah.
And I completely forgot. I didn't even hardly see hers because I was backstage
cute.
With the Spice Girls.
It was what you would expect from kindergarten.
Yeah, they're adorable. I didn't get to so my girls didn't win anything.
This is the look, man.
I heard a lot about this over the weekend.
I'm going to call shenanigans on one thing.
Yeah.
And I know that this is kind of like Sophie's choice for you. Like,
yeah.
You can't choose between your kids. But there were two acts in the show that, in my opinion, shouldn't have been eligible for judging.
And I didn't think they were.
And that was Libby's kindergarten class.
Right.
And then the first act of the night was the school's orchestra.
Right. I thought those were just exhibition performances.
And that's what they should have been. Like, give them a chance to perform.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not voluntary.
Sure.
Like, those kids had to do that.
Yeah.
So the fact that, and God bless them, it was cute. But the kindergartners doing going on a bear hunt, taking third place. What?
Over my girls who were singing, dancing, doing gymnastics. And so the cool thing about my girls is that they didn't sing along to a backing track.
No, they sang. And that's what surprised me, is I thought that they were just going to be lip syncing and dancing.
No, they sang the whole thing with no words behind them. And Wannabe, you know, yo, I'll tell you what I want. That is not an easy song to syncopate and stay with. So,
yes.
Brother Chris, what did you think of my Spice Girls?
Yeah, I mean, they did amazing. I mean, just the fact that they memorized all those words at their young age and were able to sing it and then dance and remember all that at the same time.
They worked so hard, and I was so proud of them. And, you know, the day that Lucy came to me and said, Mom, I want you to choreograph a Spice Girls routine for our talent show, it was like a tear came to my eye. It was like, this is the moment I've been dreaming of as a parent. And so after the talent show, we all came home, and I had them a big ice cream cake from Dairy Queen.
Nice.
Which quickly made them forget that they lost.
Of course.
And then we watched Spice World, the movie.
How many of them had never seen it?
Oh, all of them, except for Lucy, of course, you know, because she was like raised on it. Well, to be honest, I thought that the talent show was a lot of fun. I thought that the kids that did win did a great job, even though I couldn't see most of them because I was kind of off to the side.
The girl who took first was amazing.
Isn't she a sweetheart? She's in Lucy's class.
It was her and her grandpa?
Her and her grandpa.
And they did an acoustic version of Imagine Dragons Radioactive, which I immediately looked at Jimmy and I was like, you need to steal that for your acoustic duo.
Yeah, well, her and her grandpa, they've been in the talent show before, and they take different songs and put like a spin on it.
Okay.
And like do like a like an acoustic version of it. So I love
it was really good.
I love the kids that won. I thought they did a great job. I knew we were in trouble. The only legitimate complaint I have, because obviously I am biased.
The judges are older than Methuselah.
I was going to put it this way: the demographics of the judges did not work in our favor.
As I like to say, the judges work at a religious school because they help write the book that the religious school
pretty much. Well, last year at the talent show, we had all kinds of judges. We had like older, younger, people in their 30s. Not so much
this year.
These
people were in their 30s. 1830s.
Yeah. And so when I walked in and saw the demographic of the judges being a bit prehistoric.
Correct. Cro-Magnon?
I knew the Spice Girls were in trouble.
Yeah, they're probably over there going, look at those little harlots, and you know, I'm sure they thought you were a horrible person.
I'm sure they did too, and so I'm sure that is what sunk us. But I told the girls,
do you think the Mano factor works against you in situations like this?
Yes, of course. I mean, there was, you know, for the 90 people that were in that gym cheering their heart out for my kid because they love us, there were 10 people that were just rolling their eyes and like hate us even more.
Really?
Yes. And for those who hate us, just be patient. We have so much more for you to hate, honey. And so, yeah, that's it. But I do, you know, I told the girls from the beginning that we were a novelty act, not to expect to win anything, that, you know, there's really talented kids. And so it was all in good fun. But the kids are paying attention to how many YouTube views that they get. So
of course they
please go to KellyManno.com later today and watch the Spice Girls. And we will be right back. It is the Kelly Manno Show.
With the hype on first sight, like white on white. And three quarters, the lows, they all tight. The only problem, they only good for one night. Cause once you scuff and beat up your whole night. What's my basis? The look I stole on his faces. This kid's outrageous, he behind them by the cases. Cause once I cop on my gut, and switch the laces. They all purpose, you heard me, kinda like my days.
I said, yeah, me too.
The Kelly Manno Show. Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy. Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Manno Show.
The Kelly Manno Show is proudly brought to you by Loot Crate. Today is my nephew Dominic's birthday. Happy birthday, Dominic Sumter.
Yay!
Aunt Kelly loves you and got you the best present ever. I went to lootcrate.com. That's LOOTCRATE.com. And when I checked out, I typed in the name Kelly Manno, and I got a 15% discount. And so Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box for geeks and gamers. Basically, you get a shoebox in the month every mail in the mail every month full of goodies that, yep. that geeks and gamers like. And every month is a different
theme,
like Star Wars and things like that. And so I signed up last night. I did the 3-month subscription, which means I'm the best aunt ever. And so for the next 3 months, Dominic is going to get a box in the mail from his Aunt Kelly with all kinds of goodies in it. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. It was so inexpensive.
Yeah, it's really, it's not expensive at all.
No.
And I hope Dominic is, home whenever it arrives, because if not...
You're going
to
take it?
I'm going to be like, I don't know what happened to it. I don't know.
I've been a subscriber for almost a year.
Yeah.
And there's some stuff that's obviously geared towards kids.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like, you don't need to be a kid to enjoy the stuff that's in it. It's a lot of collectible stuff.
Yep.
It's a lot of wearable stuff.
Yep.
It's just, it's if you like... sci-fi, if you like pop culture, if you like movies, all that stuff, it's a great, great gift.
Yes, and they don't like take your credit card and automatically bill you. You set up for as long or as short as you want. You can do an entire year. And so anyway, happy birthday to Dominic. If you guys are interested in signing up for Loot Crate, you can go to lootcrate.com/Kelly Mano or just mention my name at the checkout and you will get a 15% discount.
1, 2, 3, come on. We got DJ Kool and Duck Get come Fresh.
Hey.
Rock it to the beat because we are the best. We got Dougie Fresh and Biz Markie. Hey. Rock it to the beat. In the place to be. We got Biz Markie and DJ 20. So hit me with the horns and make that money.
Let me see those hands again.
This is one of my top 5 songs of all time. Like, if I'm trapped on an island, this is in there.
My biggest memory of this is the Ed Lover dance for the old TV Raps.
Oh, see, now back in the day at Excalibur in Collins, Illinois, this song would come on. And, like, the dance floor would clear for Kelly Sumter.
Oh, Lord.
This was my jam.
I remember underage drinking at Excalibur.
Oh, well,
Jeff Burton.
There's a lot of that, too. Yeah, they had a studio in there for a while, the Jeff and John show.
Well, we did Point TV.
Oh, I don't remember that.
It was a very short-lived, basically, the Point playing music videos.
Oh, okay.
And we would record it live from Excalibur. But the problem was... we had no communication system between the camera guys who were filming and the jocks. So we would be up on the stage on the far end.
Right.
And they'd be, like either up in the DJ booth or somewhere in the crowd with the cameras. And literally be a guy being like, hands in the air, like counting it down.
Right.
4, 3. We'd be like, and welcome back to Point TV.
That's funny.
There's a reason it was short-lived.
I don't remember that at all. I remember Joe and John having a studio there for a while, and that was like the place where we'd all go. And is there even anything in there anymore?
Oh, I don't know. Wasn't it attached to like a Best Western or
it
something?
It was attached to like the Drury or something up there.
Yeah.
And then we would all get really,
messed
hungry
up.
And get White Castle on the way home.
That's right.
Right there. So I have my brother in today for a reason. Let me start my creepy music.
I'm so in on this. I'm so ready.
So I actually kind of heard about this before. It's something called the Mandela Effect. The radio show that I listen to in the afternoon is the Dave Glover Show. And I caught like bits and pieces of a segment, but I didn't hear enough of it to really get what they were saying. Because I just heard something about the Bernstein Bears.
Which were my jam as a kid.
Yeah. And then I just kind of moved on it and didn't, follow any more about it. And then something popped up this week. And I'm like, oh, that's that thing I heard about on the Glover Show. And so I kind of posted about it. And my brother chimed in on Facebook and happened to know a lot about it. And so we're going to kind of turn things over to him a little bit. But so the Mandela effect is something that's relatively new, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's really blown up in recent years, especially on the internet, with the social media. Everybody's talking about it. Once one person hears about it,
then everybody
chimes in and has an opinion. And there's just some things that are... such a shared memory by so many people that it just makes it enough to where you're like, well, maybe there's something to this.
Right. So the Mandela effect is something that happened when Nelson Mandela died. Whenever he really died, right?
Yes.
It was like hundreds of thousands of people started coming out going, wait. He died in the 80s in prison. And there were thousands of people that swore up and down that he had already passed. They could tell you where they were when they heard the news and what TV station they were watching. And so this psychologist created something called the Mandela Effect, which is what happens when someone has a clear memory of something that happened
And are incorrect.
Right. Or has, you know, or something that never happened.
Okay.
And many of us, mostly total strangers, will remember the exact same event with the exact same details. However, our memories are different than what's in the history books, newspapers, and archives. This is not a conspiracy. It is not false memories. Many people have speculated that parallel realities exist and that we've been sliding between them without realizing it. So again, the Mandela effect is what happens when someone has a clear memory of something that never happened in this lifetime. And I know that I have had at times in my life, times where I thought something happened or I brought something up to like my mom or dad and said, hey, remember this? And they're like, no, Kelly, that never happened. And so I thought, oh, I was just a kid. I was just, you know, not paying attention. But I guess the biggest thing that really made this take off is the Bernstein Bears. Now, Hoss and my brother and I are really all close in the same age.
Yep.
So we were raised with the Bernstein Bears.
Oh, dude. My dad would read me a Bernstein Bears book every night before I went to bed.
And I continued the tradition with my kids with reading the Bernstein Bears book. You know, you got Papa Bear and Mama Bear, and they live in bear country. Yep. And, you know, they're great books. And there was a Reddit user that was in a bookstore or something, and he said, wait a minute. When did they change to the Bernstein Bears? And I couldn't tell you how to spell it correctly, you know, a long time ago because I suck at spelling, but I know that there was a bunch of E's and I's in there. But I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were never spelled the Bernstein Bears, S-T-A-I-N. And so all of these people started saying, wait a minute, no. We know it wasn't spelled that way either. So all these people start scouring their attics for, you know, old books, and they're pulling out their old books from the 80s, and they're losing their minds going, oh my God, that's not how this was spelled. And I right. actually pulled up one of my kids' books right here. And
I've got that one.
And I mean, to us, I mean, I know Gary's having a hernia back here because he says that he always remembers it spelled this way. But that's the whole point, is that there's people who do and people who don't. But people like us in our 30s, this is not how these books were spelled.
That's Chris, correct.
My brother, Chris, did I explain that good?
Yeah, you did a really good job explaining it. And that's the thing, is that there are some people who do remember beer stain. There's just a handful of those. And the mass quantities of people remember the Bernstein or Bernstein sometimes. Now, some people are, you know, kind of following the theory that the reason why we think that is because you think of things like Einstein, Frankenstein. Those are all spelled that way. So
Bernstein.
And so, yeah, so in our minds, we just automatically, you know, wouldn't interpret it that way. Because whenever we have memories, they're not like recalling a movie in our head.
Right.
You remake the memory every time you bring it up. And so a lot of times, little
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so a lot of times, every time you recreate a memory, it will change just a little bit.
I just know that whenever I was a kid, if it would have been spelled Bernstein, I would have pronounced it Bernstein, and so would have everybody. Other kid our age.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who have very specific memories of their teacher kind of explaining the pronunciation of the author's
right,
name.
Right, because it could be Bernstein or Bernstein, exactly. You know, but not Bernstein. Yeah. I mean, that's a hard A. That's a Bernstein. And so the idea of these parallel universes, because, you know, obviously, if you go to the Bernstein Bears website, these were written by Stan and Jan Bernstein, and they will be the first to tell you, no, our last name has always been spelled with an A. We don't know what you guys are talking about. But in the theory of the Mandela effect, what has happened is something many, 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 many years ago happened along their family heritage lines that changed the spelling of their last name.
Yeah, it's likely when a lot, you know, when people would immigrate to America, they would change their names
correct.
To sound more American,
right.
less Jewish, especially during World War II and those type of times. And so, you know, the idea is somewhere along the line, whenever their ancestors came to America, that they could have spelled it either way. And in one reality that we remember, they spelled it with the Steen pronunciation. And then in the reality that we're currently in, it's Stain.
Right. So just because the authors of the book are saying, hey, look, you guys are all crazy. It's always been with an A. That has no bearing on the fact that thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people remember it like this. Hoss, what did this freak you out as much
as
me?
Because it's I grew up. That those books are
Look at the back. It shows you all the covers.
I guarantee you I have all these. I promise you I have every one of these.
And you would swear on your life that if you went back and dug them up that there was an E in their name and there's not.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
So
my question is, does getting to these alternate realities necessarily involve 1.21 gigawatts and a DeLorean?
It could very well involve that.
That was the first thing I thought of, was Back to the Future 2 when there's two different 1985s.
Did somebody steal a sports almanac?
Somebody stole the Bernstein Bears almanac is what happened.
I can't tell you where a lot of people point to, and it's a clock
tower.
No, it's a group called CERN. And you might have heard of them. I'm not CERN.
No, I'm not a dork, so okay. I don't know.
So CERN is the scientific group that...
Exactly.
They have that giant particle collider.
Are they trying to make black holes?
Yes, those people.
Those people go F themselves. They're going to end the world.
And so, yeah, what they're doing is they have this huge, like, 17-mile circle machine where they send particles through it, atoms, near the speed of light and crash
them into each
other.
Trying to make a black hole.
They're trying
to... What the hell is wrong with those people?
And what happens when they succeed? We all die.
And they're trying...
Oh my God, and we're protesting Ferguson. Shit, send them to the black hole.
So what they're trying to do is they're trying to create matter out of energy. It's called a God particle. And so they're trying to, by making these collisions, make it where it creates some kind of matter. And that would prove that that could be what resulted in energy being transferred to matter and... The whole universe coming together. So a lot of people are thinking that these all started whenever they started screwing with those type of things, creating alternate realities. So what alternate realities are, you kind of think about it like this. Think you're in a bubble bath.
Okay.
And you splash your hand up and down it a bunch of times.
Okay.
What's going to happen? You're going to create a bunch of bubbles, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's kind of like when you make a decision in the world. So when you make a decision, you know, whether it's I'm going to wear a blue shirt or a red shirt today.
Don't wear a red shirt, you're gonna die.
Exactly. but every time you make a decision, each possible outcome of that decision goes off into another reality. So if you think about it, all those bubbles that form, they're all kind of close to each other, okay? And those are kind of like parallel universes. Those are all the different choices that we made, all those different bubbles.
Oh my
and
God.
Every once in a while, those bubbles might kind of absorb each other and become one big bubble. And so now you're in this one reality, but you still have parts of each bubble in it. So some people are remembering one thing, some people are remembering another. And so we have all these bubble universes out there that are right, you know, kind of next to each other.
Right.
And every once in a while, they kind of, you know, come together.
Do you now see why I always tell you that my brother and I are complete opposites?
Yeah, I get it.
Could you see me explaining matter and atoms and parallel universes to people?
No, but I mean, it makes sense.
Well,
it does.
Because you do have to admit that every single decision we make in life has an outcome. And so that's why I try not to get mad if, like, let's say I leave the house and I make it, you know, 5 minutes into my trip and I realize I forgot something. Like, rather than being mad and cussing about it, I just think that was supposed to happen. I was supposed to forget that so that I was 5 minutes later, so that I avoided a car accident, or so that I...
Do you believe in predestination?
Explain it how...
That while you have free will of your own accord, there are pinpoints along your life map that are already planned out. For instance, you were destined to meet and marry Jimmy. You were destined to have three kids.
Oh.
You were destined to start this show. What you do along the lines that take you from point to point is up to you. But no matter what you did, you are going to meet and marry.
Like, no matter what happens, you're still going to die when a piano falls on your head. Like, you can't.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think so. Just off the top of my head, no, I don't believe in predestination. I don't think that it's predetermined. I think that every decision we make, you know, affects what happens tomorrow and the next day. And, you know, because we've all been in that situation where it's like, man, if I were 5 seconds earlier or if this hadn't happened. I remember Lucy almost got hit by a mail truck one time. And she ran out in front of it and he didn't see her. And it was so close that his rearview mirror swept her hair in the wind. And it took me days to it, like, even now talking about it, I have chills again, because when I saw it happen, I'm like, she was literally a millisecond from being run over in front of my own eyes.
Yeah.
And if she hadn't, you know, done something or taken a step this way and now there's other examples of the Mandela effect, and I know the one that freaked me out the most, probably as much as the Bernstein Bears, is the Snow White one. So yes. Chris, if you want to explain that.
Okay, so let's see, you know, kind of what you might remember, Haas.
Yes.
So it's blank, blank on the wall.
Mirror, mirror on the wall.
Mirror, wrong. Mirror on the wall. Wrong. Who's the fairest of them all?
It is actually Magic Mirror on the wall.
No, it's not. Magic Mirror was Bill Cosby and Fat Albert.
Listen, I have Snow White. I've watched it with my daughters a million times. We have always said mirror, mirror. If you go back and watch the movie, they say Magic Mirror on the wall.
So, no, they don't.
Yes, they do. Do you listen? The second this show ends, we can pop it in my VCR or my DVD player,
all right,
and you can watch the Disney movie with the girls tonight. So that one freaks me out because again, Gary agrees on that one. Woohoo! but again, you've got these mass amount of people that have the exact same memory. So what is another one?
Okay, so try to finish this one. Choosy moms choose what kind of peanut butter?
Jif.
Okay, so you guys all remember the same one that
Choosy Moms Choose Jif.
A lot of people remember Jiffy.
Oh.
Choosy Moms Choose Jif.
No, see? So we must be in the same universe, Haas. Yeah.
Okay.
Not Gary. He's like on another planet. He's on planet Weed.
Let's try this one with Mr. Rogers. This one kind of got me because I liked Mr. Rogers a lot as a kid. Actually, to the point where I was getting to be like maybe 8 or 9, and my parents were like,
"It was getting
you probably need to stop watching Mr. Rogers."
But then you moved on to Mr. Wizard.
That's true.
He
was awesome.
Listen, my brother nearly tore down our house trying to be Mr. Wizard. I will never forget him like setting everything we owned on the kitchen table, and he's like, "Watch this! I'm going to pull out the tablecloth, and nothing's going to move." And then like everything would crash
all over.
Yes,
and the flowers are still standing.
All right, so Mr. Rogers.
Okay, so Mr. Rogers. It's a beautiful day in blank neighborhood.
In the neighborhood. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yeah, in the neighborhood.
A beautiful
day. It's in this neighborhood.
Mr. Rogers did not say this neighborhood.
No, it was the.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yeah, a beautiful day for a neighbor.
Yeah, that one, yeah, that's the.
It's 100%
that's,
the.
And that's me. That's my, yeah. That's my neck of the woods because I'm old.
And then the last one that also kind of got me because I always it's a jingle, and you know jingles stick in your head pretty
right.
You
that's
know.
Their job.
Okay, so what about nobody blank Sara Lee?
I was gonna sing nobody does
nobody
better.
Yeah, nobody does it like Sara Lee, right?
Okay, so there's two ones, and I think you guys kind of did differently there. Some people say there's nobody that does not like. And then there's others that say there's nobody does it like Sara
right.
Lee. And so there's kind of two camps there. So it's either nobody doesn't like Sara Lee.
Or nobody does it like.
Like. And I guess, I you know, with being a teacher, double negatives drive me nuts.
That's
so I can never say that anyway because it drives me nuts.
I think probably more just misheard lyrics.
Yeah. And it could be. So that, you know, so those are other, you know, examples. But what really gets interesting is when you get to more specific personal stories people have out there. Right? Kelly kind of alluded to this earlier.
Yeah, when you think you remember something and somebody doesn't. And I just always wrote it off as like, I have the short-term memory of Dory on Finding Nemo. Mm-hmm. I'm like, a boat? Where's a boat? Like, I forget things 15 seconds later. So I always chalked it up to that. But Chris said he has a personal story.
I do. And it actually was Dad's story. Man, I wish Dad was here. He has some great stories.
Yes, but, he was like the best storyteller ever.
And it had to do with his childhood home.
Yeah.
And it wasn't too far from where
Grandma Sally lived.
Yeah, it was right in that area.
A couple streets over.
He would tell me that there was this time that, you know, he'd drive by it every once in a while. Just kind of look at your childhood home. We all do
right.
it if we're nearby our childhood home.
Okay, I'm starting to remember this.
And he would say how he drove by it one day and it wasn't
it
there.
It was gone.
It was gone. It was just like an open field or it was part of someone else's yard.
Yes.
And he said that he just couldn't figure out. He said he drove by two or three times trying to make sure that it wasn't hidden behind a tree that, you know, or something. And he said it wasn't there. And then he said a few weeks later, he drove by again and it was there. And
I completely remember this now.
Yeah, and so that plays into those type of things too. Was he did he slip into different realities? One where that house wasn't there, one where it was there.
If we can do that, then I've got one very similar. That's one of the creepiest things that's ever happened in my life.
Yeah.
So when I went to college, I went to Central Methodist, which is about a half hour northwest of Columbia. The next little town over is a town called Boonville.
Mm-hmm.
And there is or was a an old mental hospital there, and we used to always go and dig around through it at night. It was the creepiest thing in the world. I 100% believe it was haunted. We used to always take girls there to get them scared. So we would park next to this chapel that was attached to the hospital. It was a two-story chapel, and there was a giant two-story mural of Jesus on the side of it. So, and we did this for 2 years. We go one night, and we pull up. Jesus is gone. Just a blank wall.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone thought we were crazy. Like, we freaked out, didn't right. go, didn't park, got the hell out. I was like, if Jesus is gone, I'm getting out. So, and legitimately was gone for a month. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is back.
And it's the same painting.
It's the same
painting. Yeah, it didn't look like it was, like, painted over or anything like that. It just looked exactly...
We went back the next day in the daylight to see, maybe, was it a shadow? Like, did they paint over the wall? No. Like, this place hadn't been touched in decades. This was an abandoned, in the middle of nowhere, mental hospital. I cannot explain it. I have a car full of friends who I could call who will verify the story. It is hands down the creepiest thing I've ever experienced. I have no idea what happened.
And then I guess so. A couple other examples before we go. Star Wars. He does not say, "Luke, I am your father." He says what?
He says, "No, I am your father."
Yes.
And then also, I just in Jaws, everybody thinks that he comes in and says, "We're going to need a bigger boat," and he doesn't. He says, "You're going to need a bigger boat." Also, there are people who will swear up and down that Fruit Loops has always been spelled F-R-U-I-T.
F-R-O-O-T.
Yeah, it's F-R-O-O-T. Yeah. And then also the Prince song. Which one is it?
Let's go crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I remember as a kid him saying, "Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to celebrate this thing called life."
The afterworld, not the afterlife, is what he says.
Well, no, he doesn't say the word celebrate.
No.
And I remember,
we're here to get through this thing called life.
But see, I can remember, and one of my childhood friends also said, I can remember him enunciating the word, you know, "Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to celebrate this thing called life." Like, I can hear him, like, enunciating it.
Yeah.
And then when you listen to the song, it's gone.
Yeah.
And so, if you want to do, like, a little bit of, like, research on this, it is called the Mandela Effect. And, you know, I'm just warning you, you can get stuck looking at this for a long time.
Yeah, there's hundreds of examples.
Is this at all, and this, I'm going to reference a really cheesy sci-fi movie.
My brother will know what it is.
Probably.
Is this at all related to the plot of the Butterfly Effect?
It can. I mean, the Butterfly Effect probably has a little more with time travel than it would with the Mandela Effect.
Because it was jumping between realities.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of different shows, you know, from Star Trek to Doctor Who, where it has the jumping of reality.
Yeah. Right.
But some other things that people have mentioned to kind of pay attention to, just, you know, while you're out and about. One thing that once it was said, it got stuck in my head, or if it really, you know, something that is really different, is things like the sunlight being different. If you're outside on a really sunny day, it's a much brighter. It's almost like going from a 60 watt bulb, watt light bulb to like 100 watt light bulb. And now every time I'm driving around, I'm like, my gosh, they're right. And I'm really light sensitive too. And I'm always wearing the hat when I can. And so I really have been noticing that a lot. And that may or may not be Mandela, but I mean, that could be more, you know, with chemtrails and all the other paranormal stuff that they go into. But, you know, there's all those little examples, and that's when it goes, is it our minds or is it something going on in the world? Because our minds are very susceptible to people saying things and it kind of messing with your mind and you thinking that's what you remember too. And so that's one thing that I notice a lot now. Every time I'm driving, I'm like, the sunlight's not right. What is going on? The sky is almost always white instead of blue, and it's crazy.
My friend Julie, you know, she dated this guy for a long time, and he had a little kid, and we were driving him somewhere one day, and he was in the back seat, and it's like, why are the trees getting smaller? And we're like, what the hell are you talking about, little kid? And he's like, he said, every day the trees get smaller. Can't you see them getting smaller? And it was just, you know, out of the mouths of babes.
Uh-huh.
Well, first of all, so my brother Chris, thank you for coming today. I'm going to let you go because we're going to talk about Beyonce the next segment. And I don't want to bore you to tears.
I guess I can go sing happy birthday to Dominic.
Go sing happy birthday to your kid. I'm not going to make you talk about Beyonce. You will lose brain cells. Speaking of brain cells, I feel like I'm in an alternate universe after listening to all this. I need to go watch like a marathon of the Kardashians and then I'll feel normal again. We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Mantle Show.
People.
Kelly Mano Show.
Come on!
Mondays suck a little bit less. Because the Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
You are listening to the Kelly Mano Show, and we are proudly brought to you by La Tejana Mexican Restaurante. I heard something disappointing about the owners of La Tejana. Gary,
yes.
Do you want to tell everybody the heartbreaking news?
What?
Yes. Brenda and Tony Garcia, my dear, 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 dear friends, are originally from Dallas.
No!
Yes.
And are Stars fans.
I'm out.
Ugh.
I'm out. But at least for the next week.
I'm going to bring you back in because they got a chocolate banana burrito.
That's all you need to know.
Yes. La Tejana is your go-to place for authentic Mexican food. This ain't no Taco Bell, honey.
That's right.
If you want authentic Mexican food, La Tejana is the place to go. They are located at 3149 North Lindbergh Boulevard. Gary raved about the carne asada.
Best. I mean, now, and remember, I'm from California.
Right.
And it's better than anything I've had anywhere.
Yes. And right next to La Tejana, they have their grocery store. So if you like the stuff you ate, you can go buy it and make it at home.
Right.
But why do
and
that
when you fail? Come back to the restaurant.
Come back to La Tejana. Right. They have all kinds of really crazy stuff on the menu. But if you are a picky eater like me, they've got tacos. It is their number one seller. Everybody loves their marinated pork with pineapple.
That's good as a mug.
I know, right? Fajita. And of course, they've got the secret banana chocolate burrito. If your family is looking for a new place to eat dinner, check out La Tejana. They also have a website. It's latejanetaqueria.com. I promise you're not going to spell that right. So just go to my website, kellymano.com, later today, and I will link you to their site. And Haas, can you give them that address for La Tejana one more time?
3149 North Lindbergh Boulevard.
Nice timing. Bet you guys have no idea what I'm playing right now.
None.
I do, only because I saw.
So, one thing.
This sounds like the soundtrack to every Western movie ever.
This is the. Hold up, they don't love you like I love you.
Not anymore, Doug.
No, they don't love you like I love you. So, Jay-Z cheated on Beyonce.
Isn't that old news?
No, it's not old news.
I thought that's what the whole thing in the elevator was supposed to be about.
Like, well,
back in the day with Solange or whatever.
So that's apparently what
famous girl was.
So Beyonce dropped a new album on iTunes last week called Lemonade. And it quickly started making the rounds that this was an entire album about Jay-Z cheating on her. So I downloaded the whole thing, and the second time that I've downloaded an entire album. And I listened to Beyonce's Lemonade from beginning to end. I was at the gym, on the treadmill, having a good day, and like by the end of that album, I wanted to beat the hell out of every guy I saw. For like, okay. I was mad at Jimmy for nothing, like half the day.
Nice.
I'm like, don't you call me. Because she, you know, and I guess all of the legit news sources are going to have to say allegedly, because she has not done an interview about this yet, but I don't think I'm an important enough news source to have to say allegedly, and besides if Beyonce sues me, that would be great publicity. So her new album, Lemonade, is basically a diary of infidelity, and it starts, it's almost like a storybook, because it starts with her questioning things that are going on, and then it comes into her finding out what's going on, and then she goes through all these different stages of like sadness and then anger, and then by the end she's starting to forgive him. She's doing things like, I'll take your broken wings, I'll give you mine. And the music is, I mean, she's got like rock songs on here, like one sounds like country. I'm gonna read you guys a couple of the new lyrics from her new album, and just picture yourself being Jay-Z for a minute. Something doesn't feel right because it ain't right, especially you coming home after midnight. I smell your secrets. I'm not too perfect to ever feel this worthless. How did it come down to this? Going through your call list. I don't want to lose my pride, but I'm going to F me up a bitch. Okay?
Nice.
So that's when she's talking about she's going through his call list. And,
right.
And then... What a wicked way to treat the girl. I love you. What's worse, being jealous or crazy? Jealous or crazy? Who the F do you think I am? You ain't married to no average bitch, boy. I smell the fragrance on your Louis Knit, boy. Just give my big fat ass a kiss, boy. These lyrics are ridiculous. Tonight, I'm effing up all your shit, boy. So that's the typical, like, you know, all your favorite things are going to be on fire tonight because you were mean to me. This is your final warning. You know I gave you life. If you try this shit again, you're going to lose your wife. Looking at my watch, you should have been home. I regret the night I put this ring on. You always have the effing excuses. I've been committed. I've been focused. I've always paid attention. Tell me, what did I do wrong? You only want me when I'm not here. You better call Becky with the good hair. And then she repeats the line, Becky with the good hair, which sent the Beehive into a frenzy. The Beehive is her fans trying to figure out who Becky with the good hair is. That same day on Twitter, a girl named Rachel Roy, not to be confused with Rachel Ray, the chef, but Rachel Roy, who is she was married to Damon Dash, so she's in the business somehow.
Okay.
That was the girl who supposedly the elevator fight was about.
Okay.
And that same day, she put a picture of herself on Instagram and wrote hashtag good hair, don't care.
Okay.
And but then she took it down because like the Beyonce fans were trying to kill her. And so back when in 2014,
but is Becky short for Rachel?
No, I don't know if Becky is just a cover-up name,
right?
Because she didn't want to put the real girl.
Or maybe that's how he had her stored in the phone.
Maybe it's probably something we know nothing about,
right?
However, back when the elevator thing happened, it was 2014, which would have been about the time she was writing this, because it takes a while to put out an entire album.
Especially when you have a whole bunch of guest writers.
Well, now this is the one album that apparently she is... Well, first of all, I know what you're getting at, because Beyonce does not write all her own music, but she claims she does.
No! No, that can't be true.
Of course she writes it all.
Well,
you mean she couldn't write all seven words to Who Runs the World?
Who Runs the World, girls. So back when... Okay, so in 2014... Jay-Z and Beyonce and her sister Solange get on an elevator from a party, and the elevator like surveillance video shows her sister Solange just starts beating the shit out of Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And Beyonce
doesn't do nothing.
She's just standing there watching it.
Right.
And Jay-Z is almost hardly defending himself. And I remember watching that going, if that were my husband and that was my sibling beating him up, you would stop it. Like, why would you ever let your sibling beat up your spouse unless they were doing the work that you wanted to be doing right then and there?
And let's also, for anyone who's ever seen any interview or whatever with Solange, that chick has got the biggest sense of entitlement for doing nothing more than riding her sister's coattails
pretty much
anyone I've ever seen. Yeah. That chick is unhinged.
Yes.
With the ego.
And I cannot think of any other reason that you would sit there and watch your sister beat up your husband unless he really deserved it. And I can't think of anything that would really be deserved for a girl to beat up a boy besides cheating on her.
So was this like an ongoing affair, or was this just like a one-time thing?
No. I mean, judging by her lyrics, it was going on for a while, because like I said, her new album is like a storybook. Of her learning about it, or her thinking it's happening, then she confirms it. She's talking, and at one point, I know she contemplates leaving him because she's talking about how me and my baby are going to be fine. I don't need your money. I've got my own. I cannot emphasize enough how personal this record is.
Right.
Which I think, you know, and I'm not the biggest Beyonce fan. I love her as a performer, but for her to give us a peek inside of this, you know, she didn't have to do that. So how do you feel if you're Jay-Z? And, you know, your wife literally just, you know, writes out every single detail of what happened. Is he, like, laughing all the way to the bank?
I got to imagine he doesn't see none of that money.
Well, you know, he's trying to do that title thing that is flopping big time.
There's two things if I'm Jay-Z. First, there's a part of me that goes, yeah, I deserve this.
Right.
And then there's a part of me that would go to her and be like, you know, you said we were past this.
Right.
You said we were done with this and everything was cool. If it's not cool, that's fine. But if you want to put me on blast like this, I'll do a record telling you why I did what I did. And you better believe Jay-Z's record will be way better than Beyonce's.
Well, I don't know. Beyonce's got 900 writers helping her. Jay-Z's got Kanye's dumbass.
Jay-Z will freestyle a record better than that in an hour.
Jay-Z has not rapped in so long.
It doesn't even matter.
He's too busy making clothes and hanging out with Kanye West, dumbass. I used to like Jay-Z when he was an actual rapper.
Jay-Z's probably the only East Coast rapper that I'll say I like.
Yeah. Well,
but that's my thought is I get it, and I think that there's part of him probably goes, yeah, I get this. But there's also the pride factor of him that's going to go, okay.
Yeah.
If you want to make this public, we'll go public.
Yeah, and I honestly thought after the album was released, I thought, well, the divorce announcement must be coming next.
Agreed.
And it's been the
complete... Because there's no reason to put that out in public.
No.
Unless you've got papers coming.
It's been the complete opposite. So, like, the last video on the album is just them, like, cuddling their baby, and like she did a concert the other night, and it was her first concert since this had been released, and it was all about how much she loved Jay-Z, and it was like, I just want to dedicate this to my baby, my husband, my I love you so much, my.
Well, maybe.
Do you think that they love each other the way that Kobe and his wife love each other now?
Wait.
You better keep buying me really expensive shit or I'm leaving.
Well,
I love
but
you.
She doesn't need his money. He doesn't need her money.
I agree.
My thing is, I'm almost 100% sure that this is something that they sat down and talked about
maybe
before it was even done.
Maybe he helped write it.
Of course.
It.
Exactly. He might have helped write some of that
stuff.
Oh,
he definitely knew. I'm sure he heard it before it ever came out.
Right. So, I mean, I can see it being one of those things where they're now past it.
Devil's advocate, with all of the bad Beyonce press that came out of the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Right?
Ain't no better way to get people back on your side than putting out a record about how you've been wronged by a dude.
That's true. That's true. I mean, somebody brought up that maybe they're laughing all the way to the bank because he's...
Oh, are you kidding me?
He was trying to push his title record thing or music
and
streaming.
That ain't happening.
No.
I will have sales tomorrow that should show what this record did because
yeah.
I checked and it's not for this week. Remind me when we do next week's show, and I'll tell you exactly what this record did week one.
If you have not listened to Beyonce's new album, Lemonade, I loved it, and all of the girls that I'm talking to have loved it. The thing is, I don't hear any radio hits on this song, on this album.
Okay.
I mean, it's almost like she didn't even write this for radio. She wrote this.
Is that weird Super Bowl song on this?
Yes, Formation, about putting hot sauce in her pocket and how she wants her Negroes with Jackson 5 nostrils.
That's so weird.
I just can't get into singing about nostrils. It just it grosses me out every single time. Gosh. Love you, Beyonce. Bzzz. Oh, God, we got to go. That's the end of the music.
All right.
All right, we love you guys for listening. If you like the show, share the show. Until I see you next time, be good, have fun, stay sassy, classy, and a bit smart-assy. Hoss, did you prepare anything for the fellas for the week?
Don't piss off a lady who can write songs about
right.
you.
Or that has a radio show. We will talk to you guys later in the week. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye. See ya!
Thank you very much.